ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 15, Text Number 2, that is on page 713. I don't like to inconvenience people, but it's a little strange that you are sitting like this. I know that you are sitting for the deity, but now we have class. If you could sit a little bit like this so we can see each other. Yeah, yes, thank you. I usually don't do that, but because there's so many people also, then it's a little bit strange. Okay, so I will be reading from the word for word. Not from the verse, because the word for which is a little bit different. Like the verse word, it's adaha. If you look, it's not adash. Well, you'll see it. So please repeat, adaha cha urtvam prashrita tasya shakaha guna. Pravriddha, Vishaya, Pravalaha, Adaha, Cha, Mulani, Anusantatani, Karma, Anubandini, Manushaloke, Adaschartvang Prashritastashashaka, Guna privrada vishaya pravala adascha mulani anushantatani karmanu bandini manushaloke adaschordvam prashritas tashyashaka Guna pravrida vishaya pravala adascha mulani anushantitani karma anubandini manushaloke adaschordvang prashritas tasya shaka Adas chordvam prashritas tasya shaka guna privridha vishaya pravala guna pravridha vishaya pravala adas chamulanyanushantatani karma anubandini manushaloke. One more time, it's a little difficult this one. Adaschordvang prashritas tasya shaka guna pravridha vishaya pravala guna pravridha vishaya pravala adaschamulanyanushantatani karmanu bandini manushaloke. Adaschordvang prashritas tasya shaka guna pravrida vishaya pravala adaschamulani anushantatani
Karma nu bandini manusha loke. Aras chortvang prashritas tasya shaka. Guna pravrida vishaya pravala. Aras chamulani anushantatani. Karma nubandini manusha loke.
You'd like to try, sir? Like to try and chant? Pulie? No? You'd like to try? Sanskrit ni. What did you? What you like to try?
Adas chortvang prashritas tasya shaka. Guna pravrida vishaya pravala. Adas chamulani anushantatani. Karmanu bandini manusha loke. Aras chortvang prashrita tasya shaka. Guna pravrida vishaya pravala. Aras chamulani anushantatani. Karma nubandini manusha loke. Adaha.
Downward.
Cha.
And.
Urtvam.
Upward.
Prashrita.
Extended.
Tasha.
Its.
Shaka.
Branches.
Guna.
By the modes of material nature.
Pravrida,
developed.
Vishaya,
sense objects.
Pravala,
twigs.
Ada,
downward.
Cha,
and.
Mulani,
roots.
Anusantatani,
extended.
Karma,
to work.
Anubandini,
bound.
Manushaloke,
in the world of human society.
Translation:
The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. Purport: The description of the banyan tree is further explained here. Its branches spread in all directions. In the lower parts, there are variegated manifestations of living entities: human beings, animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats, etc. These are situated on the lower parts of the branches, whereas on the upper parts are higher forms of living entities, the demigods, Gandharvas, and many other higher species of life. As a tree is nourished by water, so this tree is nourished by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we find that a tract of land is barren for want of sufficient water, and sometimes a tract is very green. Similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionately greater in quantity, the different species of life are manifested accordingly. The twigs of the tree are considered to be the sense objects. By development of the different modes of nature, we develop different senses, and by the senses we enjoy different varieties of sense objects. The tips of the branches are the senses, the ears, nose, eyes, etc., which are attached to the enjoyment of different sense objects. The twigs are sound, form, touch, and so on, the sense objects. The subsidiary roots are attachments and aversions, which are byproducts of different varieties of suffering and sense enjoyment. The tendencies toward piety and impiety are considered to develop from these secondary roots, which spread in all directions. The real root from Brahmaloka and the other roots are in the human planetary systems. After one enjoys the results of virtuous activities in the upper planetary systems, he comes down to this earth and renews his karma, or fruit of activities, for promotion. This planet of human beings is considered the field of activities. Omagyana timarandasya genanjana salakaya chaksuru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena bhutale svayang rupa kadamayam dadhati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalang shri gurun vaisnavangscha shri rupam sakrajatang sakana raganatam vitang tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutang parichana saithang Krishna Chaitanya Devang, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari, Vishabhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Haripriye, Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadhadar, Srivasadi Ghora Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Adaschor dvang prashritas tasha shaka guna pravrida vishaya pravalaha adascha mulanya nu satanthani karmanu bandini manusha loke. In the world of human society, manu means man and loka means planet. Here translated is in the world of human society. Prabhupada says this tree, the translation says this tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. So we are reading here from the 15th chapter, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. And let me just, before I continue, read the first verse, just so you know what we're talking about. Krishna says, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So Mangalavati Chitra Prabhu, she explained yesterday about this tree. It's an example, although it in one sense also it's really there. The way I understand it is... you call it subtle energy. Like you have a mind, but you cannot see the mind, but it's there. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir Aponalu Kam, what is that? Bhumir Aponalu Vayor, wind, and Kam, ether. Budhir, mana, budhir, ahankara. So these are the subtle elements. So earth, water, fire, air, ether, bhumir, nalo, water, vayu, no, bhumir, nalo, how's that? Vayur, that is fire, right? Huh? What is fire then? I know it's agni, but that is not what Krishna is saying. Let me just look it up. Anyways, there are five gross elements. We'll talk a little bit more about it because it is important. And then there is three subtle elements. This is actually exclusive knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, from Krishna. Most people, or so-called spiritualists, they have no concept of the mind. In fact, they call it spirit. And they put it all together, the mind, intelligence, the soul, and the false ego. But Krishna explains in the second chapter, actually this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Well, the beginning is the whole war, and Arjuna doesn't want to fight. He said, it's not good to fight, because this is my family, right? He is a pious man. He is a good man. He is a devotee. He's soft-hearted. So he's saying, I don't want to fight. I don't think, let me take sannyas. I'll just leave and become a beggar. Yes, he's very humble. He's ready to leave the battlefield. And Krishna says, you will be dishonored. And for a man who has been honored, dishonor will be worse than death. And they will force you to fight later anyway. And then Arjuna, he starts to tremble and he submits to Krishna. He says, Sishyastaham sadimam tvam prapanyam. I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Tell me what to do. And then the first thing Krishna says, he says, Asochan amfasochan chwa. Prakyavadams, that is in the second chapter. He says, you're speaking learned words, but you're actually not really learned. In other words, he calls him a fool. And this is the job of the spiritual master. Because Krishna, he submitted himself. He's saying, I am submitting myself. I am your disciple. Now you please tell me what to do. Let me see. So this is 2:8. He says, 2:7. Sisyastam sadimam tvam prapanyam. There he submits. He says, please instruct me. Sisya, I'm your disciple. Bruhi, that is that. Bruhi tanme, tell me what to do. And then the first thing Krishna says is asojan anvasojang tvang prakya vadam chabasha se. He says prakya vadangs. You are speaking this gyan vacha, your learned words. So Prabhupada translates, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. This is from 2:11. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So he's actually saying you're a fool. Because he's saying that you're speaking learned words, you're about all these moral principles that I should not kill my family. But he says those who are wise, they are not lamenting for those who die, nor for those who are living. So he's saying if you're intelligent, then you don't worry like that. So in other words, he calls him a fool. This is Vedic culture. It's an indirect way of calling somebody a fool. In Vedic culture, this is 5,000 years ago, the people had some etiquette. So you don't tell people you're a fool. You tell them you're not so intelligent. This is another way. And then the next thing Krishna says, Deinasmin yatade komaram jovanam jara. That the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. Kamaram, jovanam, jara. From kid to youth to old age. So the body is already, as they say in English, or actually it's Latin, incarnated, reincarnated. Karna means meat. Like you have this carnival. You've heard of this? Carnival? It's very famous in Europe. He knows because he's from Spain. Or from Belgium, French. In France, also have this carnival, and in Spain, it's very big. And it actually means carna means meat, and vala means go, because they fast after the carnival. They fast for meat and everything. So this is actually this word carna. Anyway, the point is that this incarnation is already taking place. It's like when I was a boy. Then I had different teeth. I had no hair growing from my face, different voice, everything different bones. So the body is already, it's already changing, and it's because of the soul that it's still growing. Like when somebody dies, then we're crying, oh, why you're gone. But the body is lying there. Why are you crying? Because the soul, that person is gone. It's called the living entity, the jiva. This is not a living entity. This is a yantra. This is a machine. Living entity is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's sitting in the heart. This is why the heart is moving. And when the soul leaves, the heart stops. It's that simple. Somebody can die like that, and another person, he is completely broke and this, and he lives. Sometimes we have these hospitals, they're so super. And still they cannot save a person. Why? Because the soul is gone. and they cannot do anything about it. Anyway, so that's the beginning of knowledge. And have you found this verse? Bumi apone lo vayu. Because that is the next stage. You see, the first stage is to understand we're not this body, and then because you have to understand that we're studying Bhagavad Gita here, and we're trying to study it very thoroughly. And what I'm discovering is that actually the knowledge, it's seventh chapter text 4. So bumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buri evacha. So anala, it's nalo, it is like, it's a Sanskrit, eh? So it's a phonetic. So anala also means fire. You know that? Anala? Anala. Yeah. It's 7-4. Yeah. Well, you speak Hindi, right? This is Sanskrit. So this is 5,000 years. Well, actually, Sanskrit, I have to explain, 369. Actually, Sanskrit, I have to explain, it's actually called Devanagari. And that means the language, the fourth verse, page 369. Devanagari, it means the language of the gods. And this is an eternal language. It's what we're discussing now about this universe, about this tree. Now, I'm explaining that, you know this... Sanskrit? He doesn't know this word Sanskrit? This is an Indian word, no? Sanskrit. But this term, Sanskrit, it's Indian, no? So explain to him Sanskrit. What is Sanskrit in Gujarati? That's what I'm saying. Explain to him, I'm talking about Sanskrit. No, please explain to him. So this is Sanskrit, and it's also called Devanagari. You know this word, Devanagari? Devanagari. No, it's not in there. It's not in there. Just listen. Devanagari. It means where the gods speak this language. Nagar means place. Deva means demigod. Anyway, so I'm trying to explain about this tree. So this tree, you can't see it. Like these things you can see. Bhumir apon lova yu kam ano buddhi revacha. Or kam, man, kam. You can see. Mind, earth, water, fire, air. Even air you cannot see. You can feel it. You can touch it. And ether you cannot see or touch. You can only hear. And then you have mind, intelligence, ego is more subtle. So this tree is made of that substance. You know, you cannot see it. Some of it you can see, because some of it is made of earth, water, fire, air. But some of it is made of these other things. So it's very scientific. Of course, if you don't understand that Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Bhagavan, yes, because it doesn't say Krishna Uvacha, it says Bhagavan Uvacha. Yeah. This is spoken by God. If you think it's spoken by some man, this book is useless. It's no use. Anyway, so the idea is that the knowledge that's given in this chapter is called the Yoga of the Supreme Person. It is extending on the previous knowledge. So we already went to, 11th chapter, 12th chapter, 13th chapter, like that. So this chapter is, in one sense, more difficult to understand than previous chapters. You need to have read that. Do you have this Bhagavad Gita? No, but this one. No, but you have this Bhagavad Gita from A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Because there's many Bhagavad Gitas, you see. No, but that is not very helpful, generally. Because there's many Bhagavad Gitas. Now listen, there's... Yes, yes. And it's also in Gujarati. This, yes, yes. I mean, I'm not sure if we have it here, but I'm sure they have it in India. So I see you're leaving now. So please, when you come back to India, please buy this Bhagavad Gita in Gujarati. And then you can understand, because now it's not so much time, you can understand this 15th chapter. You promise you will buy one Bhagavad Gita from Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami? This is Mandir, eh? Krishna is hearing you, eh? You promised? Okay. It's not expensive. It's not expensive. Okay. Thank you very much. Did you took some Charanamrita?
ISKCON Temple, Bombay.
Yeah? They have it? Yes, they have it. Did you have some Charanamrita? Please take. Okay, so we'll just continue. Okay, so we're reading from the first verse, and now we're continuing the second verse. The description of the banyan tree is further explained here. Its branches spread in all directions. In the lower parts, there are variegated manifestations of living entities. Human beings, animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats. These are situated on the lower parts of the branches. Whereas on the upper parts are higher forms of living entities, the demigods, Gandharvas, and many other higher species of life. Now, how this is exactly, I don't know. Generally, it is described that the higher planets are on the top of the universe. And this tree is growing from there. That's how it's described. The root is in Brahmaloka, and then it goes down. Right? You understand? So, no, I'm asking him because you were not here yesterday, right? Okay, yeah. Because it's a little bit tricky. At least for me in the beginning, I couldn't understand it. But I've heard it now a few times, and then it becomes more clear. But, yeah. Yeah. It's not so difficult. And she explained very nicely that in Goloka Vrindavan, then it's going up. And the top of the tree is Goloka Vrindavan. It's where Krishna lives. Yeah, it's growing down, and there is another tree, a spiritual tree. This is a reflection of that tree. That's how she explained it. Yes. No, it's not seeing, it's there. Because the example is given of a tree standing near the shore, and then you see the reflection in the water. But this is an actual tree. But it is a reflection of the real tree. Understand? Like in the water, it's a reflection. It's nothing. It's just a reflection. But this is also a reflection, but at the same time, it's a real tree. It's a little bit different. That's why it's an example. It's an example only is can help you so much. You understand? Okay, let me try to explain it one more time. No, it's important. It's important. No, it's not very difficult. You have the spiritual world, and that's how it explained. There is also a tree. Because the spiritual world, you ever seen that poster in the Bhakta room? I put it there specifically. Please go there, in the Bhakta room, Bhakti Shastri room. There's one poster there of the universe. So you should at least have, even 1 minute would be enough. Right, it's the same one. No, you don't have to read it. So you've seen it. So then you can see in the spiritual world there's also, gradation. There is like, you have Vaikuntha, first you have Shivalok actually, then you have Vaikuntha, then you have Ayodhya, then you have Goloka Vrindavan. Huh? Yes. So Goloka Vrindavan is the top planet there. So you could understand that it's also like a tree. And at the top of the tree is Goloka Vrindavan. Normal. Yeah, it's grown normal. Like, yeah, you could say from Shiva Loka or from the Vaikuntha planets. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, you could understand it like that. And this is like a reflection of that tree. Perverted. And she explained very nicely that it's growing on, what was that? Lust? Desire. Right. The tree is growing on desire. Well, I'm not sure, but I'm just trying to explain it to him. But the point is that Shiva Lok is between the spiritual and the material world. It's Maha Sankar, it's Maha Shiva. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so that's the next point, that now you have the material world, which is like an egg. It's called Brahmanda. You understand? Yeah? So I just explained about these five elements, or eight elements actually, earth, water. So this egg is surrounded by these eight elements. And every layer is 10 times bigger than the next one. So the first layer is earth, and it's 10 times bigger than the universe. Then the second layer is water. It's 10 times bigger than earth. Then the third layer is fire, and it's 10 times bigger than water. And so forth, until false ego. Yes, I think so. I think so, yeah. I'm not sure about these layers, but that is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? Yes. Yes. Yes, he explained it very nicely that in what is the highest in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, because in the Vaikuntha planets, everybody is going like this. Oh, Vishnu, oh, Lakshmi. But in Goloka Vrindavan, the highest thing is Madhurya Ras, which is actually outside of marriage. Like somebody is married, the gopis, most of them are married, and then Krishna, he has relationships with him. You know, so, you know, in the material world, that is the most degraded. And there it's the most elevated. So that you can make that comparison also, yes. And of course desire, because we know that we're not Buddhist. We know everyone has desire. So the desire, Prabhupada says, you just have to switch the bank account. The bank account is now in, you know, Madhu Gopal Das's name, or, you know, my Karmi name. So that bank account's name should be Krishna. So the desire just has to shift. The desire is now selfish and it has to go to Krishna. Because there, in the spiritual world, everybody desires to please Krishna. In the material world, everybody desires to please himself. Or, yeah, extended selfishness, Prabhupada called it. Like Gandhi. He said that simply extended selfishness. He's just interested in India, his fellow man. So, it's like that. But it's a little bit, for me, also confusing, because like I said, generally, well, like she said, that was my understanding also, that we're talking now about the material world. Huh? So the roots are in Brahmaloka, because you know that, right? You have Brahmaloka, then that is the topmost planet, then you have like Tapaloka, like where all the yogis are. Somewhere they say that the Jesus planet is also somewhere there. Then you have the heavenly planets. Jesus, his planet. They say that he has his own planet and his followers will go there, his sincere followers. Then you have the heavenly planets, and then you have the earth planets, or planetary system. And it's called Bhuloka or Bhumandal. That is this round disc. And then below that disc is the hellish planets. That's how. And one thing you have to understand when we discuss these things, not even Brahma understands it. Sukadeva Goswami says that. That not even Brahma understands how the universe works. And he created it. I mean, he started it. I mean, of course, Vishnu started it, or Garbhadakasaya Vishnu. But Brahma, he's four heads. His body is made almost of 100% intelligence. I mean, there's almost nobody smarter than him. And imagine you have four heads, but then his body is also made of intelligence. You cannot imagine how intelligent he is. And he lives for billions and billions of years. The Vedas just come from his mouth. I mean, we just have an ABC little... He knows everything. He can't figure out how this universe works. So, you know, we're just trying to explain Bhagavad Gita. At the same time, we're also trying to preach, because I want you to understand that this is not some fairy tale, it's not some vague thing. It's actually there. It's just very, very complicated. Like our body, nobody really knows how it works. Like they can tell you a little bit, but really how digestion works, how the stomach actually puts the food into blood and everything, they don't really know this. Because if they would, they would make a human being, you know, from scratch. Of course, then they need the soul also. But the thing is that it's very complicated how... No, they know something, but you know exactly how it works. They can just look at it and see, oh, it goes like this and like that. But you know, there is a scientific process how it works. Of course, they also don't know that there is a Krishna factor, because Krishna also says, "I'm the fire of digestion." So it's a very mystical thing, also this body. Anyway, the point is that ultimately you can't fully understand it. But we can explain it to some extent, and then we can also, try to understand it, and then we can also try to explain it to others. And that's really my point, that I want you to be able to explain it to people so that they don't think it's like a fairy tale, because that's what people think of the Bible. And this is really not like that, you know. This is very scientific. But it takes some intelligence, and... You know, I also admit I'm not so super intelligent. So we can always ask, like tomorrow, Kanama Karmaraj will give the class. So if anything is unclear today, you can ask him, because he's much more knowledgeable. Anyway, so here it says, in the lower parts are variegated manifestation of living entities, human beings, animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats, etc. These are situated on the lower parts of the branches, whereas on the upper parts are higher forms of living entities, the demigods, Gandharvas, and many other higher species of life. So, you know, it's a little bit confusing, but I think we just have to accept we don't fully understand it. Because it sounds contradictory. On the one hand, we know the higher planets are on the top of the universe, and the lower planets are at the bottom. Here it's said that on the... root of the branches, on the what does it say? In the lower parts of the branches are the lower animal species, and on the higher branches are the higher species, like Brahma. So how these things exactly match up, maybe more study is required. And in fact, we are building this Vedic planetarium, so that is perhaps a question that will be answered when that is finished. Maybe it's already answered, but they keep it very secretive at the moment, because it's such a controversial topic, and so many different devotees have different opinions, that I think they don't want to get any more information, because they had a whole team, and Druta Karma was leading it, and I think they keep it closed up until... Yes, it probably will. Yes, that yes. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. This is very difficult to understand, ultimately, if you want to fully understand it. Anyway, let us just try to see. We'll just read. Some things, we'll just leave it, and we can come back to it later. Maybe not today, but, you know. As a tree is nourished by water, so this tree is nourished by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we find that a tract of land is barren for want of sufficient water, and sometimes the tract is very green. Similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionately greater in quantity, the different species of life are manifested accordingly. So now it becomes more clear. Like if you have, for instance, a pond of dirty water, maybe you don't know this, but that will breed mosquitoes. They will put the eggs inside, and the eggs they hatch, especially in this water that is still. You see, so when you have a place where there's lots of mosquitoes, that means basically it's a dirty place. Like many third world countries that have mosquitoes and malaria, it's basically because it's dirty. So if you keep things clean, then you won't have mosquitoes, just a few. Because there will always be some water, you know, but it will just very little. You know, same with these other, these flies also, I think they generally grow in stool. You know, you have these larvae or rotting things. So if you keep those to a minimum, then there will also not be many flies. This is called the mode of ignorance. So in other words, when things are dirty, then you will get these kinds of animals. So that is what is explained here. And like here in this planet, the mode of passion is there. So you get these human beings like us. And in the higher planetary systems, it's a mode of goodness. So you get these subtle beings. Like Indra's body is made of these three elements. I mean, it's also earth, water, it's also there. But it's in a very minute quantity. You can also almost not see it. The main element is mind. And like I explained, in the higher planetary systems, the main element is intelligence. Like Indra is mainly mind. Some intelligence is there also. But not like Brahma. Brahma is almost intelligence. And you can also see that false ego is... That's very, very subtle. And it's very, very difficult. And that is the root cause of our fall down. It's called ahankar. Aham kara. I am doing. No, you're not doing. You are only, we discussed yesterday, you're only desiring. And Krishna is doing everything. Mayat yakshena prakriti suyate satcharacharam. Anyway, this chapter, like I said, it's quite technical. And it comes from the 14th chapter. Because that's explained the three modes of material nature. And Prabhupada explained in the beginning of the 14th chapter that 14th chapter is kind of capitalizing on the previous chapter. It goes higher and higher and more complicated in one sense. So now this is even going deeper. This is really getting into the whole thing of the three modes, how it's actually working and how to become detached from it. So we have to stop there because our time is up. You can study this more if you want. I know many of us don't have time, but if you want, you can study more. And we can discuss it or ask questions. And tomorrow, Kanama Karmaj will give lecture on the third and the fourth verse. Huh? The? Yes, no, I advise you to also look at this poster. It's in the Bhakti Shastri room. You just have a look at. You can look at it now if you want. And I bought it actually specifically for this. I didn't buy it. No, Bhakti Rick bought it. Radha Gopinath bought it. But I really begged him to please put this in the Bhakti Shastri room. So please have a look at that, and then we can discuss it more. Like I said, I'm not Lord Brahma, and even if I was Lord Brahma, I could still not explain it. Because that's what Sukadev Goswami says. So, you have to understand it, but we should discuss it. It's important. It's important. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.